find time, self-reflect, see what's important to you, find what makes you happy and make it a habit. And then, you know, write some principles that you can just recite to yourself on a daily basis and kind of just, you know, live purposely through.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taegis Financial Group. We are a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. And we believe that there are three components to true wealth. Number one, living with purpose. Number two, having impact on other people. And number three, leaving a legacy. At the heart of our company and what we try to do with our clients and with the community around us is to inspire, again, true wealth, living a life of purpose. If you want more information on our firm, you can check us out online at taegisfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation I had with a guy by the name of Scott Riley. Now, full disclosure, Scott is an old friend of mine. It was so great to talk with him. He was actually one of my coaches when I played basketball for the University of North Dakota way back in the day. We probably have not seen or talked with each other in about 15 or 20 years, so it was great to catch up with Scott on this podcast. Well, Scott now lives in Chicago, back where he was raised and born, and he has now founded a movement called Be the Flow. And this is really helping people that are struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, addiction, and or self-doubt. And in this podcast, Scott shares his story of growing up with a father who struggled with mental illness and how he now uses his job to, quote, be the flow of positivity to his community and to a younger generation. Here's my conversation with Scott Riley. All right, I got Scott Riley on the phone here today. Scott, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast here today.
Oh, great. No, it's great. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been a long time.
That is correct, my good man. It has been a while.
It's probably been 15 plus years since we've chatted. And again, just full disclosure for people listening to this podcast, you and I played some basketball together. Actually, not so much played against each other. You were kind of my coach back in the UND days. Tell people about that.
That is correct. I was a young coach early 2000s. I mean, I believe it was actually the year 2000.
Yeah.
I had just finished up my undergrad degree playing for a great coach named Jim Weitzel, who's now currently the head coach at the University of Buffalo. And he actually did his grad work as a grad assistant for Coach Gunther at UND. And, you know, like any kid finishing undergrad, man, I was clueless, really didn't know which way I wanted to go. You know, no one really goes into the field they had their degree in. So I'm like, you know, I'm wandering around, you know, Chicago, still trying to, you know, have fun, but yet trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And Coach Weiss was very instrumental. He was like, hey, kid, you know, I always thought that you had a very, you know, high basketball IQ. I think coaching is something that's a calling for you. And let me make some calls. And one of the calls he made was back to his old stomping ground where Rich Glass was the head coach. And he invited me up for basketball camp and we really hit it off and the rest is history.
Yeah. So I remember you beating up on me a little bit in some of those practice days, getting on me. And so I attribute a lot of my success at the YMCA nowadays to my old coaches, you know, so I got to give some props to you on the phone here today.
Well, that's good to know, man. I'm glad I can be of service. But you know what? Honestly, those are memories that I still talk about now with a lot of former teammates, my family, my friends, even some of my students. Nowadays, I tell them about my experience in North Dakota because I tell everybody that I met some amazing, some truly amazing people. Built some great relationships, man, and you know, I wouldn't trade that experience for the world.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And my basketball career was mediocre at best, but 20 years, I mean, like you mentioned, this is back in 2000, so it's like 20 years ago already, which sounds crazy. But I mean, I take those lessons and those relationships still today. I'm a huge advocate of sports, even though I'm not extremely athletic, certainly not anymore. But, you know, the mental toughness that builds, you know, that carries over into being a husband, being a father, and, you know, really living with purpose and impact. There's a lot of that carries over from all those lessons that, you know, and we were in our early 20s at that point, you know,
and so I think you probably
agree with that, right?
Oh, man, no doubt about it. I mean, it really is about team, especially when you're talking about building your own family. You have to be selfless. You have to be able to put others in front of yourself. You know, and at the end of the day, just like a team or a family, you're striving for, you know, one goal, and that's to be successful on any level and any challenge that may come your way.
Yeah. Well, again, it's great to talk with you, and I really appreciate all the work that you you did with us. And again, I remember those days pretty vividly. So today you're talking about Be the Flow, kind of a movement, a mission. Tell people about really what it is. What does it mean, Be the Flow?
Wow. Well, Be the Flow is a movement that empowers through self-love. I mean, it really is just that. It was something that I felt that was necessary because something like myself going through my daily struggles, you know, I had hit a point in my life where I was just in a dark place where, you know, I kind of stopped loving myself. I kind of, you know, I forgot how awesome I really was, you know, just through, you know, through life, man, and through everyday struggles. And, you know, I was able to, you know, look myself in the mirror and, you know, and get it all back together. But I realized that I had to start loving myself again and understanding how blessed I am to have a life. And, you know, while I'm here, you know, I might as well go, you know, full throttle and make the best of it and find that purpose and understand my worth and be able to, you know, bring it all together and give it back, not only to my friends and family, but, you know, to my community and anybody who wants to be a part of this movement. So, that's exactly it. It's just being able to empower others through self-love, reminding everyone how amazing they are.
Yeah, you mentioned in your mission statement, you talk about depression and anxiety, trauma, addiction, self-doubt. You're now in the educational system, so you get a chance to be around kids. I forgot to mention that. Tell folks a little bit about what you do now and maybe how you've seen those things at play in the youth today.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I work for an amazing network. It's the KIPP Charter Network here in Chicago. We have schools all across the country. We actually have a location campus in Minneapolis, in Minnesota.
Sure.
But my daily, you know, my daily routine, I stand right there in front of the school. I'm high-fiving and hugging kids daily as they walk on campus and walk into the building. And I can see it. You know, I see kids coming in frowned up. They're upset. They're mad. You know, some like sleepwalking, coming in as zombies, still sleeping. You can tell they didn't get enough sleep. And some just like have that like really timid look on their face. And some, you know, a lot of our kids do come in high energy, ready to roll. But I do try and incorporate that energy, that self-love, the Be the Flow movement inside of our walls, just because, again, it's necessary because so many kids, you don't know anyone's story, you know, from, you know, whether they had something to eat the night before or, you know, have their clothes been washed the last week or two, to just, you know, dealing with some type of, you know, whether it's any type of physical or verbal abuse inside their home. So, I mean, like, yeah, you know, you mentioned things that I highlight, you know, with the movement, being able to try and connect with, you know, anyone who's dealing with depression, you know, anxiety, any type of, you know, trauma in their life, addiction. And the thing I think that gets overlooked a lot of time and doesn't get, you know, spoken about enough is self-doubt. So many people can talk themselves out of being successful and self-sabotaging situations, you know, and I'm a perfect example of that, you know, and that's why I felt, you know, with the tools that I learned to help me get in a really good place, you know, I really wanted to be able to give those tools back.
Yeah. Well, take us back. You mentioned, you know, when everybody's kind of got their story and been through things, and you really don't know people's stories when you see them, you know, dealing with, you know, maybe being having kind of a glum kind of a day. Talk about your childhood. You were born and raised in Chicago, and your father actually struggled with mental illness. Talk about that.
That's correct. I'm the youngest of three. My mom and dad, they raised us right here in the heart of the city, man. I'm like literally 10 minutes from downtown Chicago. We grew up in a pretty rough neighborhood, you know, but as a kid, you know, they did an amazing job of sheltering us from that. You know, the 80s, you know, I'm really taking people back, but the 80s was really a part of my childhood, when, you know, drugs and gangs were really infested into our communities. But our mom and dad, man, which I was fortunate to have a mother and a father in the home, which a lot of my friends in the community didn't. They were being raised by mothers and grandmothers, and you know a lot of their, you know, fathers or moms were victims to the drug epidemic that hit the communities. So with me, you know, having my mom and dad with us, it was game changing, you know, because, you know, they really encouraged education, you know, they really allowed us to find our own lane. You know, they both were athletes in high school. So my brother was, man, all state in football. My sister was the same in volleyball, and I chose the path of basketball. So we all had our own little world. But with that being said, like, my dad did have some mental, he struggled with some mental health issues, and I didn't know that until like my junior year of high school.
Yeah.
Like, that's how he was able to like navigate around some things. And my mom did an amazing job of, you know, hiding it from us, just because she just wanted us to be kids. She didn't want us to worry about or feel a certain way about some of his struggles. But again, once I got old enough to understand what was going on, my brother and sister, they were always like, you know, playing mom and dad roles for me, you know, because I was the youngest. You know, once we were able to sit down, kind of talk through a lot of things, it made sense. And then when I actually really started to get educated about mental health and some of the things that causes it, or, you know, what helps him on his daily routines, you know, it was like really eye opening for me.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, as when we met, you know, back in the you know, early 2000s, when we were in our early 20s and stuff, did you see the effects of that? Even though you were kind of unaware of it, you mentioned how you dealt with kind of your own self doubt going through life. How did that affect you as you went through your, you know, 20s and early adulthood age?
Well, I guess like knowing that he had it, you know, of course, you always question, like, oh, God, you know, is this genetic? Like, am I going to have mental health issues? But, you know, it's so many different levels. You know, it really is. There's so many different levels. And I think my biggest struggle that, like, now, like, when I do speaking engagements, I speak to groups of people that struggle with transition. And I know my biggest struggle when I found myself really in a depression is when I struggled from being a student athlete, you know, from everyone telling me how great I was and, hey, how many are you going to score tonight? And, you know, hey, man, you played great, you know, and, yeah, you know, the ladies chasing you and all this stuff, you know, you're this amazing person, all because you know, you're putting a ball in the basket. And then, you know, you transition into coaching and you're still a part of it. So you're still kind of getting that high of,
right,
you know, being connected. And then all of a sudden it's over. And then you're just Scott. And then I kind of looked at myself like, what the, like, what's next? And I really didn't know what was next. So I found myself thinking like, okay, well, what else am I really good at? Oh, I know, partying. So it was a lot of poor choices, man, of, you know, self-medicating, man, with mind-altering substances, drinking, partying, traveling, spending money I didn't have. Yeah. I mean, just because that's what I thought I needed. And all I was doing was destroying my mind, body, and my spirit at the time. And I didn't know it until I actually had to know it. You know, when that spiritual awakening, you know, happens, and you look at yourself and you have to question yourself. And, you know, I was just happy and blessed that I was able to do that, because so many people get caught in that struggle, get caught in that dark place, and they have nowhere to turn.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think what you're really speaking into is an identity issue, you know, and this is something that's been really just forefront to me. I, you know, you probably know, I did TV weather for a number of years. We haven't even gotten this far yet in the conversation because we haven't connected in 20 years, but I did TV weather for a number of years, and that was my identity. And then when I gave it up, what a lot of people never saw on the outside, I went through a massive identity crisis for like 2 years. And I was asking myself essentially the same thing you're asking yourself. Well, who am I? Now I'm just Jared. I'm not Jared the weather guy that everybody, you know, knew. Because I wasn't certainly getting the pats on the back. That's a huge struggle for adults. You know, is that a struggle for kids as well? I mean, really, I don't think they would ever call it identity, but do they struggle with really understanding who they are as well?
I tell you what, Bass, like the crazy thing about it is, one, children like really struggle with just knowing how to identify emotions. Like, you know, they know anger, right? You know, like, you know, they frown, they ball their fists, they huff and puff. Like, they get that. But a lot of times they don't know why. You know, they don't know the why. They don't know why they're mad. They don't know why they're angry. But that's the only way they know how to express themselves. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the identity, it really threw me, man, when I realized how mean kids are. I'm like, holy crap. Like, you know, when, you know, me growing up in the city, like, you know, we had, like, we had played the dozens. You know, we'd talk about each other's moms or whatever, you know, just to get a rise off someone. But now, you know, you have social media, kids are social bullying. And,
yeah.
I mean, they're taking it to places where kids are really in a place where they want to hurt themselves because they feel so isolated. They feel so alone. And that's why it's so important for me to advocate for those kids, you know, to be able to let them know that you aren't alone. You know, it's other people that's feeling the way you're feeling, and you know what? Let's connect with those people. Let's be the flow together, because we actually just did an anti-bullying campaign at our school, and they did an amazing video. It's on my social media page. You know, of kids just really like uplifting one another, and it was so powerful. The musical theater and dance teacher who actually, you know, led the charge with this music video, asked me to be a part of it because they, you know, they follow the movement. They're very supportive of the movement. And it was amazing, you know, just to see the kids who really was like, you know, cause they just call me coach. You know, a lot of the kids still call me coach. And then when they saw this other side of me, you know, talking about self-love, you know, and about empowering each other through that, it was amazing and game changing at the same time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't remember who I heard say this, but they basically said exactly what you just said. Anger is like your default emotion. And really, I thought of it now. You're going to laugh at me, and I have to admit it now to everybody listening because I just said it. I think it was Dr. Phil.
Nice.
I have watched a little bit of Dr. Phil in my day, but that's a whole nother podcast. But basically he said, you know, at the root of anger is hurt, you know, and yeah. You know, how much hurt is in the world. And like you said, and even as, you know, fully functioning adults, like I think we are, you know, it's hard to kind of not want to default to anger. And I've gone through seasons in my life where I'm like, why am I angry? Well, it's a result of a hurt. And again, with so much connectedness nowadays with social media, I think it's a real easy avenue to hurt other people. And I love what you're trying to do is kind of fight that. You know, fight that stream of negativity. How do you go about it? I mean, it's got to be more than just like trying to pick people up and give people a positive compliment or a hug. But how are you being the flow? How are you really trying to get to the core of the issue with people?
Well, so much of it is just letting them know it's okay. You know, because you know we all want answers, right? You know, everyone wants to know why. You know, yeah. But I know what's allowed me to kind of just really like hold on to what I have and continue to try and evolve as a person.
Yeah.
I wrote down principles, and I encourage everybody, like, you know, to, you know, ask yourself, who am I? Like, what do I stand for? And,
yeah.
And I was able to write principles down, and the four principles that I connected with the Be the Flow movement is, number one, is allow yourself to hit the reset button. Hmm. You know, if life is throwing you lemons right now, you know, like, it's okay, you know, because at the end of the day, you can start over, whether
yeah.
it's in a relationship, a career, you know, anything that you feel like isn't making you happy or have you in a place, you know, you can recharge your new energy and hit the reset button. Number two, I said, you know, you have to understand that belief comes from within, you know, because at the end of the day, you have to believe in yourself and your ability, that we all have gifts, that we all have something to offer. And thirdly, you got to put value in your purpose. You know, understanding, like, you do have purpose, you do have worth, and, you know, it's time, like, to really evolve and share that with the world. And lastly, I always say you have to follow through. You have to follow through, because we can all talk a good game and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but if you don't follow through, you know, you're going to find yourself, you know, spinning in circles. So those are the things, like, when I speak to groups or individuals, those are the things that I say, hey, find time, you know, self-reflect, you know, see what's important to you, find what makes you happy and make it a habit. And then, you know, write some principles that you can just recite to yourself on a daily basis and kind of just, you know, live purposely through.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I am a firm believer. There's it's never too late to hit reset. You talked about following through. So many people on this podcast say you just got to do something. You can't just wait. You got to be a person of action. And you mentioned finding your value and purpose. I could not agree more. And I, when I go and speak, I actually use kind of a triangle model. And at the bottom, at the base of the triangle is purpose. I tell people you have to find your value rooted in your purpose. You, Scott, through a time, found your value in being Scott the basketball player. And but what happens when that's gone? You know, you're not going to be Scott the basketball player forever. I'm not going to be Jared the weatherman forever. You know, and so you need to find self-worth and self-value out of something way deeper. And I think kids sometimes nowadays that they connect purpose with their job. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, my purpose is this job. You will find purpose through your job, but we cannot find our identity. Because again, where we find our purpose is where we're going to find our identity. And so what happens when you sprain your ankle and you break your leg and you can't be Scott the basketball player anymore? Does that mean that your value goes away? Well, of course that's not true. You know what I'm saying? And that's why it's so important to preach this message. And I think you're just spot on with that. But you know, do kids really understand that? Like that's why you're in the front lines, man. Like you're teaching kids these pretty deep lessons that many adults don't even really understand. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, kudos to you for going after this, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, and one thing I always tell, like, the kids, like, because they don't know, like, they look at me, and they're like, wait, what do you say? Like, you coach college basketball? I'm like, yeah, like, I actually coached, you know, at the University of North Dakota, at Loyola Chicago. Like, I did, that was my career, that was my job, right. And I was very passionate about that. And I was passionate, like, it didn't feel like work because I woke up every day, I was able to put on shorts and a t-shirt and go to work.
Right.
You know, but I was passionate about being able to do individual skill work and, you know, scouting reports and breaking down game film. That was a passion. But like you said, my true purpose is actually to advocate for this movement and be a part of something bigger. And that's who I am, because I can't just speak it. I actually have to live it.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I've chosen to really, like, you know, do everything I'm doing in my community to try and make a difference, from the Be the Flow wellness program, where I was able to offer free yoga, meditation, and fitness to the community. We had a backpack giveaway where we were able to give away over 150 book bags stuffed with school supplies over last Labor Day weekend. So it's just things that I know that's necessary, because these are some tools that helped me when I was in a bad place, and also just to give back, you know, to be able to give back, you know, through the proceeds of the Shopify store I have, you know, people able to purchase Be the Flow swag, you know, whether it's a tank top, a t-shirt, a hoodie, anything like that, you know, that's an opportunity for me to do things like take those proceeds and give away these backpacks, be able to, you know, afford, like, you know, spaces to do the yoga, the meditation, and the fitness, and it's all worth it, man. It feels great.
Yeah, I love it. And I think this is a great example. We really preach with this podcast using our skills, our abilities, and our experiences, where we reflect back and you can utilize all of those things and make impact with people. And it's just so important for people our age and beyond, especially. You know, it's tough for a kid because they just don't have the life experiences. But here we are sitting in our 40s. Man, you know, the older we get, the more potential we have to have impact on other people. And I just see a perfect example of somebody who's gone through this, had some experiences, many of them bad, and now using them for good, which is just awesome. So again, another reason why I'm glad to have you on the show today. We've got about a minute and a half left. Here's a question I generally ask a lot of people on the show if we have time, but you know, what is something really simple or tangible, or maybe it doesn't need to be simple, but what is something that I can do or we can do as listeners just to have impact on people around us? I know community building is huge for you, and you think that that's really important, and clearly you're doing that. You know, what is something that we can do even today, whether we're in a leadership position or not, to impact other people and affect the people around us?
Oh, wow. You know what? It can be as simple as a smile, but I'm a huge advocate of actually opening your mouth and using words. And I think something as simple as just looking at someone and asking them, like, hey, how are you? How are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, because I've done that. And you know what? You may not be ready for the answer because, I mean, I've you know, received answers from tears. You know, because I'm like, hey, how are you doing? Are you okay? And someone just actually broke down crying. And it was like, you know what? After they wiped up the tears, it's like, you know what? Thank you for asking. I just needed to let that out. I needed to speak to someone. So I encourage anyone and everyone, hey, man, just check in on your loved ones. And even the people you may not know, just ask them if they're okay.
Yeah.
You may save a life. You may change someone's day.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Scott Riley. As Christians, you know, we should be the biggest conduit of positivity in our communities. And I love Scott's challenge at the end. Just reach out, ask somebody how their day is, and you can be the conduit and be the flow for God's love for other people. If you want more information on Be the Flow, visit their website, betheflow2016.com. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, you can go to our website, TagesFinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. And as always, a big thank you to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit MyFaithRadio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We will see you next time on Repurposed.